To help prepare our minds for Rich's lesson this morning, I'll be reading from the 22nd chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people that they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get here without the wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'"
Appreciate your presence this morning. Preparation is part of life. It is time to get ready for a life event. It can be getting married, going to school, having children, buying a home. Maybe it's, you know, we had the little kids giving the presentation this morning, and a lot of them are getting ready to go to the next level. And some, that's a big step, going from one level to another. Maybe you've had children who did well in third grade but didn't do as well in fourth, you know, because of the change of teacher, or maybe they went to the middle school instead of the elementary school. I know at Westfield they have like the intermediate and I forget what all. It's my kid's in high school, so at least at Westfield, she can't go much higher than that. And we hope that she does go to to post high school of some kind, and we're trying to encourage her to do so and to be ready for that, no matter what she does, you know, in her life. And we have to ask ourselves, are we prepared for this life? Or are we prepared for the next one? Are we in all ways ready? And hence the title of the lesson is Readiness. Now, readiness, we read in the parable in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 1 through 14, talks about the kingdom of heaven being compared to a king's son getting married. Now, we don't have kings around here, but, you know, we have people who come in, and what do they do? We get invited to weddings, and maybe we want to go to an important wedding or someone who's important in our lives, and we are going to go. And it talks about all the people who refuse to go, and they're coming up with excuses, you know. He says, "I prepared my dinner, you know, and my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage," but they made light of it, says in verse 5, "and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise or to his business." They're disregarding and not giving proper respect to the king. And it talks about this, "and the remnant took his servants and entreated them and entreated them spitefully and slew them." You know, not only did they disrespect, but they murdered the king's servants. And the king doesn't like that. The king sends his army, you know, and he's angry, and he destroys the murderers and also burns up their city. I'd say that's an angry king, wouldn't you? And the others are still, you know, okay, we got a wedding, but the ones who were invited weren't worthy. We got food up to our ears. What are we going to do? So he says, "Go out in the highways," in verse 9, And as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servants go out into the highways and gather together all as many as they found, both good and bad, and the wedding was furnished with guests. You know, basically it compares the kingdom of God. You know, the people who were initially invited were the children of Israel. You know, those who were the Jewish persuasion. And then he says, they weren't worthy, so go out and get the Gentiles. Bring them in, and both good and bad. And so the king comes in to see the guests in verse 11. And he saw there a man who did not have on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. In other words, not everyone is ready when the king has his wedding feast. Now, the wedding feast that we're invited to is judgment. And the wedding garment, you know, you go, how many weddings do you go wearing torn jeans and an old smelly t-shirt that you wore while mowing the yard, and you just say, well, I guess I'll come to the wedding this way, without even so much as showering. Do you think people would say how proper that was? No, they're going to say, well, how disrespectful to the family. How do you act like that? Well, in this parable, the garment of the wedding is righteousness. You know, you come in to judgment, and you don't have righteousness on, they're going to, he's going to walk up to you, friend, why aren't you ready to meet me? Why aren't you ready to be in the presence of the king, the maker of everything? And what is the man's reaction? He's speechless. What can you say on judgment day? You've done this, this, and this, but you didn't do anything to get it corrected. You walked in unrighteous. He was not prepared. He was not ready, and he paid for it. You know, to be bound hand and foot. And he's taken away into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he says, many are called, but few are chosen. In other words, everybody is called, but not everybody is chosen, not because God says, I like Monty, but I don't like his wife, so she goes to hell and he goes to heaven. And it's not that way. It's going to be on the basis of, what did you do? You're going to be chosen on the basis of what you did with your opportunity. Did you put on righteousness? Did you put on the wedding garment that heads to life? So are we ready? And there are many things that we have to ask ourselves. Are we ready? And the first thing is, are we ready for the next step in life? Well, the next step in life depends on how old you are. Infants, well, an infant is going to learn basics, you know, how to talk, how to walk, how to eat, how to drink, how to do other things. You know, compare that to the spiritual children, the spiritual babes, as in Hebrews, the 5th chapter in verse 12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have both their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And also in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice be ye children, and in understanding be men. So we have to be ready for that next step in life. You know, we talk about when you're 5, you want to get ready to be 6. You know, when you're in kindergarten, you want to be in first grade. When you are in high school, you want to get ready for college. You know, you take those wonderful examinations, you know, the PSAT, the SAT, the ACT. And some schools take the score, some do not. Some have different things. And when you go through college and you have to say, what am I going to do after I manage to graduate in 5 to 10 years? Well, hopefully it's not that long for you. Yeah, I see the Johnson boys there. Don't take 5 to 10 years. You might have to go get a job to finish, and you probably won't then. And, you know, those are the things we face. And, you know, people talk wax nostalgic and they talk about the past. And I listen to people saying, wasn't college wonderful? And I said, it was the most stressful time I've ever had. But everyone waxes nostalgic after they don't have to deal with the stress anymore. They talk about the good times, the fun times. Sometimes the good old days weren't that good, and it's good that they are old. So are we ready to learn? You know, are we ready to learn? Well, when you go to school, you learn. And when you get a job, they train you. You can walk in and say, well, I've got a degree. That's wonderful, but we need you to learn our system. And unfortunately, a schooling does not prepare us for a specific place. You know, so you have most of the time, you know, you're there to learn this particular job. If you have an education, that means you have the ability to be trained, the ability to learn, the ability to inquire and strengthen your knowledge. Learning is an always evolving process. And, you know, I'm in a job, and guess what? I got training in a couple of weeks. Yippee-ki-yay, more training. But they say you can handle it. I hope so, because I'm going to be trained, and they're going to put me in a job that I didn't ask for. And I've been told it's a hard job and a not very fun job. And the emails telling me I was involved with it said, congratulations, you have been chosen. And that's kind of like, congratulations, you've been drafted. And we have these trainings. We have to remind ourselves of the ability to learn. You know, Galatians 3 and 22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The schoolmaster teaches us, but after we graduate from the school, it is now our responsibility to do something with this. You know, we grow up. We have to be prepared for after growing up. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, it says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Are we ready for the next step? You know, when you graduate from college or get yourself established, then you might want to establish a household. You want to establish a household, then you want to have children and have a family, get them ready for life. And then you get yourself ready. You know, you work to a certain age, and then you go, it's time to retire. And then you go on, and you say, what am I going to do in retirement? And what is the next step after retirement? Well, you know what? That's when you are, you go into the ground. You go to your long home, as it says in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. You prepare for that. And our lives are spent preparing for the day we quit living. It is a readiness. And are we always ready? And we have to ready ask ourselves, are we ready to take care of others as well? That is part of life. In 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, and in verse 8, it says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own home, his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I don't think there's anyone here who's going to dispute that. We need to take care of our own. Take care of our families. Take care of those who need caring. And it is not something that's easy. Many times you see a spouse take care of the ailing spouse, and then when he or she passes on, the other one usually follows shortly afterwards. Perhaps it's because of that they're not there now. Maybe it's just because they're old too. Could be all kinds of factors. And we have to ask ourselves, are we ready for that day when we may have to take care of others? Maybe you're doing that now. Maybe you're on the verge of doing that. Maybe you have done it. Now you're the one that's being cared for. We have to ask ourselves, are we ready for that next step to take care of others? You know, Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We should not let it ever be named amongst this group as not helping those who are part of our number. And we also have to realize if we are in need, let people know. You know what? My name's not Kreskin. I don't do the phony baloney mind tricks and bending of keys. And nor can I read your mind. I don't always know if someone is in need. You know, it is good to be mindful of that. Now, sometimes you can tell they might be in need. You know, if they're having trouble getting about, if they're in the hospital constantly, that's a clue to say, what good can we do to this individual? I hope that most of us have that mindset. And part of taking care of others is not just making certain that they're fed and they're clothed or that they have care in the home if they are unable to take care of themselves anymore. But it's also teaching them the word, you know, to be ready to teach. You know, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, we talk about, you know, preach the word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We want to teach others so that they are not led away by false faith, by false teachers. That is the best gift you can give to take care of somebody. You know, the best thing you can tell somebody is that you are in trouble spiritually. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to tell that. They might be mad at me. Well, yeah, they might be mad at you, but you told them something that they need to hear. Sometimes the people that don't like to be told things are the ones who absolutely must be told things. It is for their own good. If you walk up to someone saying, you need to make your life right, what if you're the one that's told that? What would your reaction be? You know, we have to be ready to save others. You know, 1 Timothy 4 and 15 and 16, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. In other words, there's a need to save others because so much is at stake. We don't want people to lose their souls. You know, what do you tell your child when they're sick and they don't take their medicine? Take your medicine. You know what? My mother is almost 78 years old, and if she found out I wasn't taking my medicine properly, do you think I'll get a call on the phone saying, take your medicine? Sure she would. And I'll tell you, she's the worst one at taking care of herself. She's not here, so she can't defend herself, and it's probably safer for me to say it here than in her presence. But, you know, having said that, what if you find your brother or your sister falling away, drifting away? What is our responsibility? We have to make certain that they are ready to go to heaven. If you haven't become a Christian yet in the audience, and I know there are those who haven't yet and hope you do before it's too late, we have to ask ourselves, if someone walks up to you and says you need to be obedient to God's gospel, is that an insult? You know, I would ask you this question. If you were sitting on the beach or sitting by the hotel pool, or maybe you got a pool at home and someone's drowning, you say, well, I don't want to offend them by throwing them a rope. I don't want to offend them by jumping in and fishing them out. You know, if you had the ability to save them, what would the authorities say to you? Why didn't you save them? They'd probably charge you with neglect. And rightly so. To tell someone that they must go to heaven and they need to save themselves because they're not guaranteed tomorrow. Some people march out and saying, how dare you preach at me? Well, you know, I'm preaching. You know what? Guess what preachers do? They're going to preach at you. What does a preacher do? They talk about things that need to have our attention. We need to make ourselves ready to go to heaven. And if you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you haven't been baptized for remission of your sins, you are as dirty as you can be, and you're just like that guy coming to the wedding party, not having on the proper garment, the garment of righteousness, and being told you are not ready. You did not prepare yourselves. You had your whole life to prepare for this. Bind him up and throw him into torment. Torment sounds so, torment, that's not so bad. Torment's another word for torture, folks. You want to be tortured forever? People say, well, what can hell possibly be like? Well, it's a place of darkness. You'll never see light again. You ever been in a room and it's dark and you just want that light to be on? I have family down in the Chattanooga area, and we would have family reunions down there, and one year we saw Ruby Falls. If you've been down in the South, see Ruby Falls, see Rock City. Yippee-ki-yay. I've been to both because you have family down there. You got to do something. And you go down in Ruby Falls, and you're in this chamber, and they turn the lights out. And it is black can be. And then he cracks a match. And it's amazing how it just fills the room. And how relieved you are that there is light. Hell is worse than that because it's not just darkness. It's torment. It's torture. It's eternal flame. It's eternal pain. People saying, well, what can it be like? And I always tell people, think of the worst thing that you can possibly think of that could be painful. And multiply it by a million, and it's not as bad as hell. But on the other hand, think of heaven and think of the greatest and most wonderful things you've ever experienced. Multiply that by a million, and it's not even close either. And the problem with hell is it never will end. You ever been in the hospital with a bad pain? Maybe you have appendicitis. I've had kidney stones, and you know what my thoughts were about it? Get this thing out of me and get this thing out of me now. And if you had told me you were going to feel this forever, I don't know what I would do. I would go out of my mind. The wonderful thing about kidney stones or appendicitis or the worst pains you've ever had is that it will end. Hell is different. Hell never ends. Are we ready to die? That's a good question. Are you ready to die? If you were to die right now, you're told you're going to die, are you ready? And Hebrews, the 9th chapter, in verse 23, it says, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us, not that yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. For and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Are we ready to die? You know what? A lot of people are saying, oh, I won't die, I'm young. Well, everybody lays in the coffin just the same. And I have seen them of all ages. One of the most upsetting things you can go to is a funeral for a little child. If you've ever gone to one of those things, it's a horrible, horrible thing. Because you think of all the life they had in them. But yet at the same time, I go, you know what, that child is no longer going to have the temptations. The child is pure. The child has a home in heaven. How many times have you gone to someone's funeral, maybe a family member, and you said, if this person's going to heaven, everybody's going. What a sad thing to say. If you were to die today, what would people say over your body? Would they say, what a shame, and pray for your mercy, that God will give you mercy because you don't deserve anything else? Or will they say, this one has hope because they cared about their sins? Are we ready to die? You know, Ecclesiastes 3 and 17, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and to every work. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go into one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Also, Ecclesiastes 12, you know, it says in verse 1, to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. Talking about the keepers of the house, talking about your hands. A lot of you may notice a trembling in your hands. Maybe you haven't yet, but maybe one day you will. You know, the strong men will bow themselves. Maybe you have strong body, strong legs, strong arms, strong back. But one day, it's going to bow. You're going to be stooped. Your strength will abate. The grinders are the teeth. They cease because they are few. And the eyes that look out of the window are darkened. And it talks about the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. All the daughters of music shall be brought low, and then they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. The almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goes to his long home, and the mourners go down about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Eventually, we all have to face death. I've been to a funeral for a man who was 100 years old, and I've been to a cousin who was 4 years old and drowned, along with her father. Horrible, horrible thing. One day, we will have to make account. We don't want to be caught unprepared. And there are those who are going to be unprepared. It's just, is it me? Is it you? Is it our loved ones? And I had people saying, well, I'll become a Christian when I get to this certain age. Or they say, I don't know, maybe one day my wife doesn't want to go. My boyfriend doesn't want to do this. You know what? Your spouse, your loved ones, if they're preventing you from going to heaven, I would rather you go to heaven. I would rather you never be married. I would rather you never have children. I would rather you not have that great job, because the job can only last so long. The passion of love is wonderful. It is a great gift of God, but the gift of heaven will far surpass. And the penalties of hell are not worth anything. Revelation 20 and 11, having the glory of God. In 20 and 11 it reads, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to the works, to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Are we ready? If we're not ready, we need to get ready. We are not guaranteed tomorrow or even an hour from now. Have you heard that word? You know, Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have to hear the word. In other words, you have to listen to it. Oh, I know there are people who are deaf and cannot hear, but they can read it. You can see it in subtitles on a video. You can read the Bible if you're blind with Braille. You can get the books on tape. We still have my mother-in-law's CD is in the back coat room for those who wish to listen. And if we hear the word, do we believe it? You know, and if you don't believe it, make certain you're right. Because not believing in God is every much an act of faith as it is to believe. Mark 16:16, he who believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And if we listen to the word and we hear it, you know, we believe it, then we need to decide, are we going to repent? Are we going to change our lives? A lot of people say, well, I don't want to change. And one day you might say, I don't want to change. And then death comes and you meet God and you don't have on your righteousness. What excuse will you have? You'll have to be speechless. To confess, as in Acts 8, the Ethiopian eunuch said, he believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To be baptized, as we've read in Mark 16:16, and to be faithful unto death, even if it causes our death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Readiness. Are you ready for the next life? You know, you need to be ready for the next part of your life. But what if that next part of your life is the end? What have you done with your life? What have I done with my life? We should ask ourselves that seriously. Whether you're an elder or a deacon, teacher, preacher, have you done those things? Have you wandered off? That's our lesson. There's been an invitation song selected. The invitation applies to you in any fashion. Please come forward, make your wants known while we stand and sing.